This is an encore broadcast of Streams in the Desert Live.
I believe that we are living in the days John wrote about. The end times are upon us, and of that there is no doubt. Get your mind out of the world, take your Bible off the shelf. Read the book of Revelations for yourself.
Welcome to Streams in the Desert Live, an interactive prophetic talk show with pastor, evangelist, and prophetic teacher, Dana Bohansky, senior pastor of Streams in the Desert Ministries and House Church, where we look at the headlines of our daily news in light of Bible prophecy and give you, the listener, an opportunity to call in to ask questions and share information regarding the signs of the times. This ministry is dedicated to the preaching and teaching of the unadulterated word of the one and only true and living God under the power and anointing of God's Holy Ghost. Streams in the Desert Live is an expansion of Streams in the Desert Ministries. Now, here's your host, Pastor Dana.
I believe that we are living in the days John wrote about. The end times are upon us, and of that there is no doubt. Get your mind out of the world, take your Bible off the shelf. Read the book of Revelations for yourself.
Shalom and blessings in the name of the Lord Jesus. This is Pastor Dana, and I once again would like to thank you for joining me today, February 14th, 2018, for the Streams in the Desert Live Internet Radio broadcast, coming to you live from the beautiful and breathtaking studios of StarWorldWideNetworks.com, where we look at the headlines of our daily news in light of Bible prophecy. Today's topic title is Israel, Iran, and Purim. But before we get started, let us pray. Father God, we thank you for late starts better than no starts. We thank you for this beautiful rain that is keeping us from getting where we need to be on time today, Lord God. And we ask that you would continue to pour out your blessings as the rain is being poured out here today. Lord God, we ask that the power and anointing of your Holy Spirit be upon every word that is spoken here today. That the Holy Spirit have your way, Lord God, that you would reach your people around the world through the digital airwaves, the minds, hearts, bodies, and spirits of your people, Lord God. In Jesus' precious and holy name we pray. And Lord Jesus, we thank you for taking our place upon the cross that we may have eternal life if we serve, obey, love, and do that which the Word of God calls us to do. In Jesus' precious and holy name we pray. Amen and amen. Well, folks, greetings to you all once again from wherever you are in the world as you join me, your host, Pastor Dana, today for another compelling episode of Streams in the Desert Live Internet Radio Broadcast. As we open the show for today, I must begin by laying the groundwork for our time spent here today on this 14th day of February in the year called 2018. With that said, I would first like to put you in remembrance of the one and only true and living God's ordained mandate for the current year of 2018. As I have shared with you many times before, each year since the year 2003, that being for the past 15 years, to be exact, the Lord God has entrusted me with a mandate at an appointed time of His choosing during the midpoint of the prior year that I like to describe as being from the mouth of God to the ears of all mankind, spoken to me by way of His Word, which is to say the Bible, and the small, still voice of His Holy Spirit. That is, and will be carried out within the confines of the up and coming new year ahead. The mandate for the current year of 2018, emanating from the throne of God in this hour, is that the year 2018 was to be, and now is, and will continue to be, the year of calamity. Now, just before we move forward, let us take a giant leap backwards to the year 2001, in which the Lord God, there again, by way of His Word and the small, still voice of His Holy Spirit, began to speak to me about a coming event of cataclysmic proportion, that the world one day soon, that would rather one day soon come to pass in the very near future. So, as I just shared, it was in the year 2001 that the Lord God began speaking to me about a war that would break out in Iraq on the Feast of Purim. The Lord God first spoke this to me through Isaiah chapter 13, and from there it just exploded as he began to reveal many, many more scriptures that were foreknowledge from before the foundation of this world was ever laid concerning the fact that in the last days such a war would become a reality. Then, sure enough, just like clockwork, 2 years later, on the 19th day of March 2003, the invasion of Iraq, or in other words, the Second Gulf War, began on the Feast of Purim, just as the Lord had said that it would. Sometime after the war began, I did more research. I came to find out that the first Gulf War began on August 2nd, 1990, and ended on February 28th, 1991. And guess what? February 28th, 1991 was, you've got it, the Feast of Purim. Now, the reason I was researching the first Gulf War was that the Lord God in the year 2001 had told me that the second Gulf War would at some point begin there again on the Feast of Purim. So when it actually came to pass on that very day of celebration of the Feast of Purim in 2003, I began to think about a vision that my mother, the dearly departed Reverend Lois Baker Williams, had shared with me at the end of the first Gulf War, that the Lord God had given to her as she watched the ticker tape parade on television that was held on June 8, 1991, for our troops returning from the first Gulf War, aka, at this point, Desert Storm. She said that as she watched the parade on the television, that the screen began to fade away as a vision from the Lord God began to take its place. And instead of seeing confetti streaming down on our proudly marching troops and the estimated 200,000 U.S. citizens cheering theirs and, of course, ultimately our victory on in our nation's capital, Washington, D.C., she said that all of a sudden the vision revealed a battlefield at dusk where our young soldiers lay very quietly, but at the same time growing what appeared to her to be very weary as they lay head to toe, one behind the other, on their stomachs with their weapon in hand, as if waiting on the enemy to present itself. My friends, you must remember this is all taking place in 1991 after the end of the first Gulf War. And I distinctly remember her saying that what she felt the Lord was revealing to her in this vision was that the war was not finished. And at that time, I thought it to be very strange. And the Lord never let me remember it again until the second Gulf War had begun, of which he had revealed to me in 2001 would begin on the Feast of Purim in a soon coming year known at that time only unto him. Now, as I did, my friends, my research, I found something totally astonishing, of which was that the first Gulf War that had ended on February 28, 1991, had ended on the Feast of Purim. It was at that time that the vision given unto my mother during the 1991 homecoming parade for our troops no longer seemed strange at all. For the Lord God, in actuality, unbeknownst to her, had at that time prophetically revealed in her vision that the second Gulf War would pick up on Purim in 2003, as was revealed by the Lord God unto me in 2001, right where it had left off on Purim in 1991. Now, something else that you must understand in the unraveling of this awesome story of the prophetic working of the Lord God, which has and still is taking place right before our very eyes, concerning something else that I pointed out to you late last year. In other words, towards the end of the year 2017, when I shared with you as to just what the Lord God had made known to me concerning that which the world was being called the sign of Revelation 12 that took place on the third evening of the new Hebrew civil calendar year of 5778. The Lord God, by way of the scriptures presented in Revelation chapter 12 verses 1 and 2, had me to present to you that the message from the Lord was that for the Christian, it was and still is that the time of tribulation is near. And at the same time, the message from the Lord God for the Jewish people in Israel was and still is that the time of Jacob's trouble is even at the door. I also shared with you that what this means is that the time is quickly approaching for the Lord God to hide the appointed remnant of the Jewish people of Israel away at the end of the soon-to-be-realized and coming war of Ezekiel 38 and 39 that is on its way even as we speak, which culminates with the commencing of a time of so-called worldwide peace, as declared by Satan's beast and false prophet. This time is also known as the time of Jacob's trouble, which is when the Jewish people finally realize that the Antichrist, who presents himself in the newly rebuilt temple in Jerusalem as being God, is in reality Satan's spirit embodied in the literal flesh of a man. It is as well the time synonymous with not only the open rule and reign of Satan's beast and false prophet, but is the time of the implementation of the Antichrist mark of the beast for all who choose during that time to eternally doom their souls to the lake of fire for participation in what at the time becomes the Antichrist one world system, as well as the reign of Satan's false prophet over the Antichrist one world religion. This period will last 42 months, which is, my friends, an equal span of 3.5 years, and is simultaneously the time of that which the Word of God, in other words, the Bible, calls the time of great tribulation, and is the same 3.5 year period in which the Lord God pours out his wrath without dilution upon the godless and ungodly of the world that exists at that time, who were left behind after the rapture, or shall we say the catching away of the saints of God, took place, and are the same who have given themselves fully over to Satan, lock, stock, and barrel, by way of the taking of the mark of the beast, which consists of a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads that is either the name or the number of the beast, which is the number of a man, and his number is 666, or 666. All of the just mentioned, my friends, begins just after what the Lord God stated to me and revealed on September 23rd, 2017, in the form of the sign of Revelation 12, which appeared in the heavens on the first Sabbath of the new Hebrew civil calendar year of 5778, of which the actual Torah reading for that very day was scripture outlining the just mentioned soon coming war found on the very pages of Ezekiel chapter 38 and 39, and is that of which the Lord God states is even at the door. The next thing that one must understand is, in this hour in which we now find ourselves living in, is just how the wars of Iraq and the soon coming war involving Iran play into the soon to be revealed looming events, of which make clear the reason for the past two Gulf Wars fought in Iraq, which in ancient times was called Mesopotamia and was home to the kingdom of Babylon. And the soon coming war of Ezekiel 38 and 39, of which is a war fought because of the newly formed alliance between the nations mentioned in Ezekiel 38 and 39, of which the main players are Russia, Turkey, and Iran, of which the latter of being Iran was in ancient times called Elam and was home to the kingdoms of Media and Persia. And brings us to just how the Feast of Purim was and still is the centerpiece of biblical history, of which reflects and gives detailed accounts as to just how the kingdom of Babylon, located in what is now called the modern-day nation of Iraq, was invaded and taken over by the kingdom of the Medes and the Persians of Elam, of which today is known as the nation of Iran. The biblical account of the Battle of Purim, of which began on the evening of the 13th day of Adar, which is to say the 14th day of Adar beginning and continuing through the evening of the 15th day of Adar, played out in the book of Esther in a real-life recounting of just how God miraculously used Queen Esther and her cousin Mordecai, both of whom were Jews, to save the entire Jewish population that existed throughout all the province ruled by the Persian, or in other words, Iranian king, whose kingdom spanned was from India to Egypt, from a plot devised by a high-ranking official in the Persian kingdom, of whom was known as Haman the Agite, or evil. The plot of Haman, in short, was that he became miffed by the fact that Mordecai would not bow down unto him, as Jews do not bow down before any man or God except for the one and only true and living God of Israel and heaven. So Haman was prompted by his evil wife to ask the Persian king to decree that all the Jews throughout the kingdom would be killed, beginning with the hanging of Mordecai for his so-called disrespect, on gallows fashioned by Haman himself. But the Lord God allowed Mordecai to overhear the plot and he went to his cousin Esther, who was the queen and the wife of the Persian king, who went and said that, my friends, one must understand at this point, the king did not realize that his own wife was as well a Jew. So when Haman asked the king to decree the killing of all the Jews, Queen Esther, on behalf of her people at this time, must make known to the king that she is as well a Jew. And if he plans on killing all the Jews, that would include, obviously, the killing of his very own wife and queen as well. So when the king realized this, he then turned to his precious queen and asked her of what she would have done to this Haman concerning the reversal of this diabolical plot and decree. Now, mind you, before ever going to the king, Esther conducted a 3-day fast for such a time as this before the God of heaven, her God, to inquire as to just what he would have her to do concerning this dire situation. So when the king asked Queen Esther what she would have done unto this man concerning this putting forth of such an evil plot, her reply is that she wished that the Jews would be able to slew their enemies throughout the province, who were ready and willing and waiting to massacre them on the appointed day. So her desire was granted, and at the end of that day, the king once again asked if she had any further desire concerning the matter at hand, and her reply was that she wished to see the same thing happen within the palace of Shushan that happened throughout all the province of the kingdom. And at that request, it was done. And Haman and his 10 sons, in the end, were hanged upon the gallows, which were at first decreed for Mordecai. And on that very sobering note, my friends, I will be right back after the break to share more of just what has taken place and is getting ready to take place concerning Israel, Iran, and Purim. My friends, I have decided to follow Jesus too. There's no turning back. I hope you will join me. Okay, my friends, now on to current events that possibly point to another soon coming war beginning on the Feast of Purim. Did you hear what I said? The possibility. I didn't say it was for sure, but the Lord works in patterns, so we shall see. Because at this moment, whether it will or not, is only known unto the Lord himself. And the day is approaching of which will commence this year on the evening of, how ironic, it was the same evening as the day in 1991 when the first Gulf War ended, February 28th, 2018, through March 2nd of 2018 will be the days of the celebration of the Battle of Purim. With that said, let us now examine a piece from Israel Breaking News, dated February 13, 2018, written by Adam Eliehu Berkowitz, titled, Did the War of Gog and Magog Begin on Saturday? Now, my friends, the War of Gog and Magog is just another name for the War of Ezekiel 38 and 39. The writer begins by quoting, therefore, son of man, prophesy and say unto Gog, thus saith the Lord God, in that day when my people of Israel dwelleth safely, shall thou not know it? Ezekiel chapter 38, verse 14. The writer then goes on to share, Israel and Iran made direct military contact on Saturday for the first time, signaling a significant escalation in the multi-nation entanglement in Syria. This development contains unique elements that several end-of-days experts say signal the messianic war of Gog and Magog. Adam, the writer, goes on to say, on Shabbat at about 4 a.m., Iran sent a UAV, which is an unmanned aerial vehicle, into Israeli airspace from a base in Syria. And in an Israeli Air Force IDF Apache helicopter shot down the UAV. And Israel subsequently launched multiple airstrikes inside Syria. Syria then launched a barrage of surface-to-air missiles, or SAM, at the Israeli warplanes, damaging one of the F-16s and forcing the two-man crew to eject, with one pilot suffering serious injuries. This was the first time since, and I do believe they're in error here, I think it goes back much further, but we'll go ahead and say what they said here, but I just want you to know that it's most likely in error. They said that this is the first time since 2006 that an Israeli warplane had been shot down by an enemy, and the first time that an Iranian drone entered Israel. Now, that part is correct. It's the first time ever that anything Iranian has ever attempted and made contact with the inside of Israeli airspace. The writer goes on to say the confrontation on Saturday marks a serious escalation in an already volatile region that brings the armies of many nations in closer proximity with one another. This explosive mix is coming to a boil. And last week, two other aircrafts were shot down. One of the aircrafts, a Turkish plane, was shot down on Saturday, and a Russian close support Su-25 one week earlier. Mr. Berkowitz goes on to say Rabbi Pinchas Winston, a prolific end-of-days author and educator, believes that the confrontation on Saturday, listen up, my friends, may very well have been a major step in the Jula, or redemption, process. In many aspects, the situation in Syria conforms to the descriptions in the prophecies of the war of Gog and Magog, Rabbi Winston told Israel Breaking News. What happened on Shabbat could easily be the trigger to set off shooting down an airplane, especially inside Israeli airspace, as was the case with the F-16, is an act of war. The rabbi noted that the war of Gog and Magog is supposed to begin in the north, but that one essential factor mentioned in Ezekiel and hinting to Iran's role had been missing, my friends, up until now. And I will turn thee back and put hooks in thy jaw, and I will bring thee forth and all thine army, horses and horsemen, all of them clothed with all sorts of armor, even a great company with bucklers and shields, all of them handling swords, Persia, Ethiopia, and Libya with them, all of them with shields and helmets. Ezekiel chapter 38, verses 4 and 5. As this piece continues, my friends, it is noted that Iran is the modern-day incarnation of Persia, and though they have been openly antagonistic towards Israel, Rabbi Winston noted Saturday marked the first time they have come into direct contact with Israel. Rabbi Winston emphasized that the escalation on Israel's Syrian border over the weekend may have helped actualization, a step in the process of Jula. He explained that the war of Gog and Magog is the second part of a two-stage process for the Messiah's arrival, according to Jewish standards, my friends, not biblical standards. According to Rabbi Winston, in the Jewish way of thinking, my friends, there are two stages to redemption. He elaborated Pekida, which is preparation, and Zakara, which is actualization. Pekida clearly culminated in the formation of the state of Israel, he says, and included the building up of the land. He continued by saying, the only thing missing right now is the stage of Zakara, which includes the war of Gog and Magog. This is a much more active process, he says, and culminates in the return of the Shekinah, which is to say, divine presence to Israel. This piece also points out that the Arabs will play a major role in Zakara because they are from Ishmael, which means hear God. Rabbi Winston added, their function is to make the Jews listen to God and to wake us up to action. And my friends, this piece ends with the rabbi saying the main thing is what is happening over here. Iran is moving in and Russia is not reliable, Rabbi Winston said. It is not a matter of whether or not the war of Gog and Magog is coming. It is a matter of time, and at this point, we are counting the days. My friends, and there is another piece that was titled World War III, Warning, Israel Bolstering Missile Defense System as Tensions with Iran Escalate. And I just want to go to the end of that piece because it's very similar in some ways as the last piece. But at the end of both pieces, there's something very interesting that is said. It says, these actions by Iran at the base are ostensibly carried out under the guise of supporting the fighting against the global Islamic Jihad forces. But the actions carried out in the past 24 hours prove that its real concern is direct violence and direct violent action against Israel. In the Iranian action, all the Israeli warnings against Iranian consolation in Syria were realized. The attack was initiated and Israel was forced to respond first to the threat in its territory and then to the hostile elements operating from the Syrian territory opposite it. Another source said that as far as we are concerned, the event is over, but the Iranians are determined to continue to establish themselves in Syria. The next incident is only a matter of time. What we do not know, he says, what the mission of the Iranian drone was. It is their most advanced drone, which was copied from an American drone that they shot down, my friends, and just copied it. And they did not expect our radar, Israel says, to detect its penetration into our territory. Our aerial freedom will not be harmed. We will continue to destroy targets. And my friends, this brings us to what is said in Joel chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, where Joel speaks these words of the Lord for our benefit. In Joel chapter 2, beginning at verse 1, there is a command from the Lord for this time that we now find ourselves in. And it is to blow ye the trumpet in Zion and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh. For it is nigh at hand, a day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness, as the morning spreadeth upon the mountains, a great people and a strong. There has not been ever the like, neither shall be any more after it, even unto the years of many generations. And Joel chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, continues by saying, for behold, in those days, which means it's about to come, my friends, and in that time, when I shall bring again the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem, says the Lord, I will also gather all nations and will bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat and will plead with them there for my people and for my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my land. In Joel chapter 3, verses 9 through 14, the Lord continues his speech by saying, proclaim ye this among the Gentiles. Prepare war, wake up the mighty men, and let all the men of war draw near. Let them come up. Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. Assemble yourselves and come, all ye brethren, and gather yourselves together round about hither, cause thy mighty ones to come down, O Lord. Let the heathen be wakened and come up from the valley of Jehoshaphat, for there I will sit to judge all the heathen there round about, says the Lord. Put ye in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, get ye down, for the press is full. The fats overflow, for their wickedness is great. Multitude, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. In 2 Peter 3, verse 1, it begins by saying, this second epistle, beloved, I am now I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burnt up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall be melted with fervent heat? Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness, or right living in Jesus Christ, my friends, as I like to say. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless, and account that the longsuffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, has written unto you. Also, in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable wrestle, as they do all the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. My friends, that is why I kind of stepped out on a limb and said possibly would be coming soon regarding the next war in Israel. Because right now Israel is looking at war with Iran, Syria, Russia, Turkey, Hezbollah in Lebanon, and Hamas in the Gaza. They are totally surrounded by their enemies, and the Lord is not going to allow it much longer. Our time is growing very short, and it is time to remember that the way of escape, or shall we say salvation, is only made possible through the precious and holy shed blood of the Lord God's one and only begotten Son, who is the only Savior of all mankind, and his name is Jesus Christ. Therefore, my friends, I say unto you that everyone needs to be ready, watching, and waiting, praying such as never before, each and every day. For the time is short, and the kingdom of God is at hand. And before we go today, I would like to pray with you and for you. Because if you've never received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, your time is running out, my friends. Wherever you are when you take your last breath, or the Lord Jesus Christ returns in the rapture, whichever comes first, will be where you will be suspended forever in eternity. If you're walking with the Lord Jesus Christ, you will have eternal life, and you will have citizenship in heaven and earth, in the new heaven and new earth, my friends. But if you are not walking with the Lord Jesus Christ in a relationship acceptable unto him, according to his word, then, my friends, you will find yourself forever banished to the lake of fire with Satan, his false prophet, and the Antichrist beast that deceived the whole world who followed not the Lord Jesus Christ. My friends, today, if you've never received the Lord Jesus as your Savior, please ask the Lord to forgive you of your sins and to wash you white as snow, spiritually speaking, by the precious and holy shed blood that he, the Lord Jesus, shed upon the cross of Calvary for all mankind, that if they would receive him as their only Savior, that he would return again to receive them and to take them into eternity to receive eternal life and to walk with him forevermore. And to ask the Lord to have his Holy Spirit, my friends, guide you and lead you into all truth and righteousness, and to know God's word, know it well, and know it correctly. And just pray it all in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. With that said, my friends, it's a wrap. May the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Shalom and blessings until we meet again.
I believe that we are living in the days John wrote about. The end times are upon us, and of that there is no doubt. Get your mind out of the world. Take your Bible off the shelf.
Join Streams in the Desert Live each Wednesday at 4 p.m. on Star Worldwide Networks, where your host, Pastor Dana, will examine the headlines of our daily news in light of Bible prophecy. Streams in the Desert Live thanks you for listening, for your phone calls, emails, and as always, your generous love offerings in support of this internet radio broadcast. You may also visit or email Streams in the Desert Ministries, home of Streams in the Desert Live, by way of the website or Facebook page, which can be easily found on the StarWorldwideNetworks.com Streams in the Desert landing page. Until next week, Streams in the Desert Live bids you all much love in Jesus, and that the peace of the Lord Jesus be unto you all now and always. And remember, if you're not serving Jesus now, what makes you think you'll be doing it later in heaven?